As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Well, the sun is rising over Missouri, folks, and it's time once again for a Show Me Showdown. We got breakfast on the table all across America, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it, whether you like it or not. Welcome to our Monday, Columbus Day, October the 12th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, my name is William Roberts. I've got good news of sorts, hard facts, certainly that, and workable solutions for you today. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where no philosophically radical topic is off the table, but definitely where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. I must have to say that hope makes a dandy breakfast, but it makes a lousy supper. We're going to need more than hope to get our bacon out of this fire. Interactive Talk Radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can pick up the phone and call throughout the broadcast. For those with unlimited long-distance access or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014, join us live on air, or take Oracle with you on your mobile phone. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065, and your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at bvlhost@centurytel.net. Again, that's bvlhost, like Become Vocal Local Host, bvlhost@centurytel.net. And for those without internet access, listening by any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Simply send your letters to me at William Roberts Post Office, Box 96, out of small town America, Exeter, Missouri, the big mo to me, 65647. A big shout out this morning to Liberty Radio, Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local to your local listening audiences. Our listener call-in number remains throughout the broadcast at 866-841-1065. And, of course, your calls are welcome. Gold is building strong support above the $1,040 level. We'll talk about that. U.S. stock market, though, is closed for Columbus Day. Yet the dollar continues its decline as oil climbs higher. All that and much more in our market report. Public finance, debt, credit, we'll talk about all of that as we learn more about economics and global finance today. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Columbus Day, Monday, October the 12th, 2009. Markets are closed again in the United States of America, but they're open around the world. Gold up $4.50, trading at $1,053.40. Silver up 10 cents at $17.80. Platinum up $2 for $1,335 an ounce. Palladium up $5 at $323 an ounce. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market so far this morning, $1,047.20 for a low, $1,058.10 for a high. Boy, get out your violin. That's sweet music in my ears. At $1,053.40, your gold is up $202.50 year to year for a 23.83% return on your investment. The London Gold Fix this morning, the gentleman set the gold price at $1,052. We're trading just above that now. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed up 61 points on Friday at 9,787. The NASDAQ closed up on Friday at up 15 at 2139. And the S&P closed up 6 at 1071. We'll pick it all up right there and continue on the other side of this, our first break of today's broadcast. Stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth of our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the Heirloom Garden Seed Time Capsule and Heirloom Seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Duke Don Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, October the 12th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. OracleBroadcasting.com, the official webpage of this broadcasting network. Be sure and log on and bookmark that site today if you haven't already. Going into this a little deeper here, Columbus Day, we know that the banks are going to be closed today. The post offices are going to be closed today. We're not going to go into too much about Columbus Day, although I have in the past gone into it in great detail. Unfortunately, that was on another network in another year. And so those archives are not going to be available until I build a website and post all of my broadcast archives on it. But let's go ahead and get back into this market report and close that out for today. Lots of financial news today. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk about finances for most of the day. Anyway, the market again, we find the gold up trading $4.50 up in the bullion market, spot gold market at $1,053.40, and silver up a dime at $17.80. Crude oil this morning up $1.36, a three-week high at $73.13 for a 42-gallon barrel of light sweet crude, and the U.S. dollar index dropping 13 basis points in the Forex, I guess, 76.22. The foreign exchange rates, the Forex market, Canadian dollar trading at 97 cents U.S., that's up 0.77% or 77 basis points. The Mexican peso up 52 basis points, still trades at 8 cents U.S. The euro up another 10 basis points, trading at $1.48 U.S. The British pound off a bit, trading at $1.58. And the Swiss franc is trading at 97 cents, up 36 basis points. But we see the Canadian dollar and the Swiss franc now equaling 97 cents U.S. If you want to fill up your pockets with either Swiss francs or Canadian dollars, it's going to cost you 97 cents a pop. What is all this about, this Forex exchange and whatnot? As I brought out on last Friday's broadcast, I came across a new term to me, and it basically is this international, let's see if I can find it here again, the International Exchange, Inc., International Exchange, Inc., and if you want to go up on your internet connection, it's the Intercontinental Exchange, Incorporated. Intercontinental Exchange, Incorporated. You can go to www.theice.com. Theice.com, how cold it is. Anyway, what is all this about? Here's a little bit I dug up on that. I'll share that with you so that you understand what it is we're talking about when we talk about the USDX, the dollar exchange, or the dollar index, up and down and up and down each day. I think we need to understand some of these indicators. I like to think of this as the no-spin market report, but, you know, I'm as ignorant on a lot of this stuff as any of you, and I'm learning right along with you as we go through it. But I bring it out to you, not as a guru, but somebody to say simply this. You really need to be checking this stuff for yourself and following it for yourself so you don't get led astray by every wind of doctrine. Well, anyway, ICE U.S. Dollar Index, the USDX, sets a daily volume record. This is an article, September the 9th, a little older an article, PR Newswire, and it goes this way. The New York September of 2009 PR Newswire first call via Comtex News Network, ICE, ICE Futures, U.S., a leading regulated U.S. futures exchange for global agricultural equity index and currency markets, gives you an idea of the spread there, reported record volume in its U.S. dollar index, the USDX futures contract, of 47,404 contracts on September the 8th. The previous record of 45,614 contracts was established on September the 10th, 2008. You can see that this USDX is a future trading market. The USDX is a leading benchmark for the international value of the U.S. dollar and the world's most widely recognized traded currency index futures. The USDX contract allows traders to hedge moves in the value of the U.S. dollar relative to a basket of world currencies in a single transaction. USDX futures are traded 22 hours a day on the ICE trading platform. ICE also announced that on Wednesday, September the 30th, it will offer a foreign exchange webinar with a focus on fundamental and technical approaches to trading USDX futures. But again, this whole thing is a crapshoot. The whole thing is a marketplace. It's unbelievable. Try and make any sense out of this stuff. You really got to do your homework. Market data and contract specifications for the USDX, ICE Millions, and other currencies future contracts are available via the ICE website at the www.theice.com. About the Intercontinental Exchange, this is ICE. The International Intercontinental Exchange operates leading regulated exchanges, trading platforms, and clearinghouses serving the global markets again for agricultural credit currency emissions, energy, and equity index markets. ICE Futures Europe hosts trade in half of the world's crude and refined oil futures. ICE Futures U.S. and ICE Futures Canada list agricultural, currency, and Russell Index markets. ICE offers trade execution and processing for the credit derivatives market through Creditex and ICE Link, respectively, and CDS clearing through ICE Trust and ICE Clear Europe, a component of the Russell 1000 and S&P 500 indexes. ICE serves customers in more than 50 countries and is headquartered in Atlanta with offices in New York, London, Chicago, Winnipeg, Calgary, Houston, and Singapore. Okay, so that's that, all right? Now we're a little bit wiser about what this USDX is all about. Let's find out a little bit more about Forex and Forex trading. This is off another index here. This is the website, http://forex-mb.com. If you get that off the archives, I'll give it to you again. It's http://forex-education.110mb.com. That's where I got this little bit of information from, the Forex Basics. Making money with Forex trading. For those unfamiliar with the term, Forex, which is foreign exchange market, refers to an international exchange market where currencies are bought and sold. The foreign exchange market we see today, it began in the 1970s when free exchange rates and floating currencies were introduced. In such an environment, only participants in the market determine the price of one currency against another based upon supply and demand for that currency. And we can see that the demand for the U.S. dollar is in decline. We'll be right back on the other side to continue that and much more.
It's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. Many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable. They start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we've returned once again. We're looking at the Forex. What is the Forex? The foreign exchange market. You know, we give this out every day, the foreign exchange rates, and back in the archives, you'll find a rather lengthy discourse on what is the purpose of foreign exchange, how it works, and why it's necessary. But we're going to get a little bit better understanding of what it is when we talk about this U.S. dollar index, USDX, every day. Today, down 13 basis points, trading at 76.22. What does it mean to you? What does it mean to me? What does it mean to anybody? Well, let's find out a little bit more about it. Forex is a somewhat unique market, this author writes. And this, by the way, is off of a website. It's http://forex-education.110mb.com. And it's a very interesting study that this individual has made that tells you about it and how you can work in it and maybe pick up a few shekels. As I've been mentioning, for weeks now, the Swiss franc has been moving up. And that's a trend. And in economics, trends are the whole deal. And so knowing that the Swiss franc was on the move and the Canadian dollar was moving up and that the British pound has been moving up, you can buy into this foreign exchange market and make a little bit of profit for yourself. So there's lots of ways to skin the cat. Let's go into it a little further here. Again, it says Forex is a somewhat unique market for a number of reasons. Firstly, it's one of the few markets in which it can be said with very few qualifications that it is free of external controls and that it cannot be manipulated. Very important. If that's true, that's profound. It is also the largest liquid financial market, with trade reaching between 1 and 1.5 trillion U.S. dollars a day. That's a couple of shekels. With this much money moving this fast, it's clear why a single investor would find it nearly impossible to significantly affect the price of a major currency. Furthermore, the liquidity of the market means that unlike some rarely traded stock, traders are able to open and close positions within a few seconds, as there are always willing buyers and sellers. Another somewhat unique characteristic of the Forex money market is the variance of its participants. Investors find a number of reasons for entering the market, some as longer-term hedge investors, while others utilize massive credit lines to seek large short-term gains. Interestingly, unlike blue-chip stocks, which are usually most attractive only to the long-term investor, the combination of rather constant but small daily fluctuations in currency prices create an environment which attracts investors with a broad range of strategies. Very interesting opening pair of paragraphs there. How the Forex works. Transactions in foreign currencies are not centralized on an exchange, unlike, say, the New York Stock Exchange, and thus take place all over the world via telecommunications. Trade is open 24 hours a day from Sunday afternoon until Friday afternoon. In almost every time zone around the world, there are dealers who will quote all major currencies. After deciding what currency the investor would like to purchase, he or she does so via one of these dealers, some of which can be found online. It is quite a common practice for investors to speculate on currency prices by getting a credit line, which are available to those with capital as small as $500, and vastly increase their potential gains and losses. This is called marginal trading. Continuing, marginal trading is simply the term used for trading with borrowed capital. Again, we're learning something today, I hope. Always trying to increase our understanding of the world around us and how things really are. It is appealing because of the fact that in Forex, investments can be made without a real money supply. This allows investors to invest much more money with fewer money transfer costs and open bigger positions with a much smaller amount of actual capital. Thus, one can conduct relatively large transactions very quickly and cheaply with a small amount of initial capital. Marginal trading in an exchange market is quantified in lots. The term lot refers to approximately $100,000 an amount which can be obtained by putting up as little as 0.5% or $500. Example, you believe that signals in the market are indicating that the British pound will go up against the U.S. dollar. You open one lot for buying the pound with a 1% margin at the price of 1.49889. And today it is, British pound is 0.6320 or $1.58. And you wait for the exchange rate to climb. At some point in the future, your predictions come true and you decide to sell. You close the position at 1.5050 and earn 61 pips, as they say, or about $405. Thus, on an initial capital investment of $1,000, you have made 40% in profits, just as an example of how exchange rates in the course of a day, an average daily change in the euro, blah, blah, blah. When you decide to close a position, the deposit sum that you originally made is returned to you and a calculation of your profits or losses is done. This profit or loss is then credited to your account. So you can see that people get involved in this and probably spend their entire life sitting in front of their computer screen watching this sort of stuff, but that in your shorts you could sit there and make or lose a fortune. So we want to be very careful about that losing a fortune, but there is a possibility that you might make a couple of shekels. Here's another article today off Bloomberg, October the 12th. Dollar reaches the breaking point as banks shift reserves. Again, talking about the Forex, we're talking about the dollar. Central banks, flush with record reserves, are increasingly snubbing dollars in favor of euros and yen, further pressuring the greenback. Of course, we know it's not really a greenback. That was Lincoln's idea. Further pressuring the greenback after its biggest two-quarter rout in almost two decades. Yeah, this is the big deal. This is what everybody's really talking about, even though they're talking around it. Policymakers boosted foreign currency holdings by $413 billion last quarter, the most since at least 2003, to $7.3 trillion, according to data compiled by Bloomberg. Nations reporting currency breakdowns put 63% of the new cash into euros and yen in April, May, and June, the latest Barclays Capital data shows. That's the highest percentage in any quarter, with more than an $80 billion increase. And where are they doing this? In the Forex. World leaders are acting on threats to dump the dollar, in other words, sell their positions, while the usurper's administration shows a willingness to tolerate a weaker currency. Now, that's completely contrary to what we've been hearing, the strong dollar policy, in an effort to boost exports and the economy, as long as it doesn't drive away the nation's creditors. The diversification signals that the currency won't rebound anytime soon after losing 10.3% on a trade-weighted basis the past 6 months, the biggest drop since 1991. Quote, global central banks are getting more serious about diversification. Well, you know that most of the central banks are all Rothschild children, and they just pose as being unique or independent. Global central banks are getting more serious again about diversification, whereas in the past they used to just talk about it, said Stephen Englander, a former Federal Reserve researcher who is now the chief U.S. currency strategist at Barclays in New York. Looks like they're backing away from the dollar, he said. Pick it up there on the other side and close out the market today. Right.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Hey, Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 16 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we've returned once again. And so for those of you that have been following this broadcast for any length of time at all, you recall back when I noticed that in the news and reported on that, that there was talk about the Swiss franc going down, declining in value. Well, it didn't go down in value that morning. It went up in value. And it's been going up steadily ever since. And so you can understand that by getting inside of this Forex market and using marginal trading in these currencies, that you can actually, investing or risking very little, make a whole bunch. You know, you hear about these guys buying these billion-dollar yachts and a brand-new Maserati and things like that. You know, they're not busting a sweat anyplace. They're not swinging a hammer. They're not using a shovel. They're using their brain. And that's something they count on you not using. They don't want you to get involved and compete on this level. But at the same time, remember, whenever you get in and start playing around in any of this, should you choose to do so, this is a great way to make a large fortune into a very small fortune in a relatively short period of time if you don't know what you're doing. As they say, you could get your head handed to you on a plate. But anyway, back to this discussion, and we'll close it out on this. Again, this guy from Stephen Englander, a former Federal Reserve researcher who is now the chief U.S. currency strategist at Barclays in New York. In other words, he sits there and he strategizes all the time at Barclays, which is the second largest investment house in England. He says that it looks like they, that would be the global central banks, are really backing away from the dollar. America's currency. No, I should go in here. The dollar's 37% share of new reserves fell from about a 63% average since 1999. Englander concluded in a report that the trend accelerated in the third quarter. He said in an interview that, quote, for the next couple of months, the forces are still in place, close quote, for continued diversification. In other words, people buying out of the dollar. America's currency has been under siege as the Treasury sells a record amount of debt to finance a budget deficit. This is our topic for the day, public finance and debt and budgeting of that. A budget deficit that totaled $1.4 trillion in fiscal 2009, ending September the 30th. Intercontinental Exchange Inc. And when you look it up and you browse it up, run the two together. Put Intercontinental Exchange together and then Inc. And you'll come right up with these folks, this ICE. Intercontinental Exchange Inc.'s dollar index. This is theirs, the USDX. It's theirs, which tracks the currency's performance against the euro, the yen, the pound, the Canadian dollar, the Swiss franc, and the Swedish krona. This is that basket of six currencies. The euro, the yen, the pound, the Canadian dollar, the Swiss franc, and the Swedish krona fell to 75.77 last week. And this morning, it's at 73.13. 73.13, all right? So it's lower now. The lowest level since August of 2008 and down from the high this year of 89.62 on March the 4th. The index at 76.43 today, it's below that, I don't know where they're getting that from, is within 6 points of its record low reached in March 2008. Foreign companies and officials are starting to say their economies are getting hurt because of the dollar's weakness. And there's a lot more to that article. Go up on Bloomberg, www.bloomberg.com. The headline is Dollar Reaches Breaking Point as Banks Shift Reserves. A Anjali Warachati or something like that, and Yeezy wrote the article. October the 12th, new news. All right, so with all of that in mind, I'm not going to go too much into this Columbus Day thing. I might in the latter part of the broadcast, but I want to cover some ground we didn't get to last week on Friday. Back to this public finance. Public finance is what's going on here. A lot of what's going on. And there's debts and there's budgets, and this is a huge topic, and we can't cover it all today. We're going to start in. We'll have to pick it up on Friday because we have guests coming back on Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday. But we'll continue looking at this because when we're talking about finances, this is where it all lies. So let's pick it up. Before I go into this particular or return to this particular encyclopedia article, I want to share with you a little bit out of a college textbook, Principles of Economics by D.C. Heath and Company. And this published back in 1953, we find in the beginning of this, in the preface, this very interesting verbiage. It says, this present textbook is expected to be particularly useful for the shorter economics courses increasingly being taught. Now, this is 1953. Single semester and quarter courses or courses from 10 to 20 weeks in duration. Well, we won't spend that much time on it. In addition, many teachers of the full year course in economics prefer to use a short text in combination with a book of readings or with library assignments. A book of readings. Those would be readers, as they say, college readers, in which you might find information from Adam Smith, or you might find an article about John Stuart Mill or other people who have written extensively on economics. Continuing. In order to bring the student into contact with the original writings of the great economists and with current publications of economic importance. And when we get into our encyclopedia study, we'll get a little bit of that. The authors, again, of this textbook, remembering that the Principles of Economics course is taught early in the college years. Now, some of you might just be going, oh, God, come on, Will, give us a break. Well, not everyone that's listening this morning has been to college. And so I'm just sharing with you a little bit of what you might find in a college course that you just spent $1,000 to sign up for, all right? Again, the authors, remembering that the principles of economics course is taught early in the college years, have not presupposed a knowledge of the social sciences and of mathematics on the part of the student. And today, one could be almost assured that there would be very little mathematics in the minds of the students as they enter college. Mathematical concepts, therefore, have been avoided or explained in simple language. Very important to understand, listening carefully. This is a transition, and you're going to hear the difference between this college textbook and the way that it's been written in 1953, as opposed to this information out of the encyclopedia that was published in 1951. However, this article that I'm going to refer to was written prior to World War II. Continuing, it says, price and distribution theory has been explained without the usual application of mathematical diagrams. Short paragraphs, short sentences, and simple diction have been employed designedly. In other words, this is a note not just only to the students, but also to the teacher, the instructor. Examples have been used generously in the attempt to relate economic concepts and principles to students' experience. And so you're going to find in a textbook published at this time quite a few pictographs, pictures, if you will, that you wouldn't find ordinarily in an encyclopedia, and those that will be used would relate it to the student's experience, in other words, younger people, as opposed to a more comprehensive or exhaustive knowledge. Dropping down further, it says, the findings of two recent investigations into economic education have been consulted in the writing of this textbook. And here now they're going to list them. And where do you think they came from? The Brookings Institute findings, a survey of economic education by C.W. McKee and H.G. Moulton, 1951, offered much specific information concerning the institution's teaching basic economics and many suggested methods for improving the teaching of that subject. So the Brookings Institution, one of the great think tanks, has been invoked in this textbook. Continuing, the comprehensive survey of the American Economics Association, the teaching of undergraduate economics is the report of the committees on the undergraduate teachings of economics and the training of economists, December 1950, proved a source of considered opinion and judgment as to the subject matter of introductory economics courses, its presentation in textbooks, and its presentation in the classroom. Again, if you were to go back and read as I have, the writings compiled by Charlotte Isserby in her Deliberate Dumbing Down of America, you would find much support for this particular direction in American education. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
Heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
And we've returned once again here for the last segment of today's, the first hour of today's two-hour broadcast. We're going to continue a little bit from this initial Principles of Economics textbook published back in the 1950s, 1953 to be precise. And in the very first opening chapter, if you will, it's titled, Why We Study Economics. Well, of course, I get a lot of this material from flea markets and whatnot. And I'm working from a hardcover, hardbound book here, a textbook, not something that I'm getting off the internet. But it's at the very beginning, the chapter is titled, Why We Study Economics. And in handwriting, above this, the student wrote, Who Studies? Question mark. And then right below that, in the same student's handwriting, says, Because we have to! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. You see how there's a lack of real interest on the part of the student just going into this. Who studies? Why do we study economics? Because we have to. A required course, perhaps. And then it drops down and it begins in the second paragraph. The whole of your life following graduation will be shaped by the answer to the employment question. And it continues and it says, we're not too far removed from the shadow of the 30s to forget the somber specter of unemployment, which in those days haunted the national scene. All right? The Depression. In 1950, looking back, the author starts a text on economics. We're not too far removed from the shadow of the 30s to forget the somber specter of unemployment, which in those days haunted the national scene. Today, we have unemployment running at, what, 9.8 million conservatively, using government numbers. We have that same somber specter of unemployment haunting our national scene. Back to the article here, it says, we even began to believe that the Depression was here to stay, and that the quote-unquote good old days were gone forever. You see, such as the calendar pages change, the propagandists remain the same. The directions come back over and over and over again, which is why I study this stuff. Then came a conflagration known as war. And, paradoxically enough, we became prosperous once again. And there's talk of a new war in Iran. We're continuously in a war in Iraq and Afghanistan. And there's talk of recovery. The war was followed by years of inflation, which have been charged to heavy governmental expenditure for national defense. This all sound a bit familiar to you? The man in the street does not understand perfectly the forces that push a nation to the brink of economic disaster or those that pull it back to stability. He knows, of course, that during war there are jobs for all because there is much work to be done if national sovereignty is to remain intact. Does this mean that war is one of the conditions of high-level employment? Question mark. Are permanent prosperity and high-level employment incompatible with peace without large government expenditures for a quote-unquote crusade of some kind? Question mark. If so, then the number of men who favor scrapping free enterprise and trying something else is bound to increase. Haven't we been hearing about from the G7 back in Cannery Row or Channing or wherever it was over there in England, this idea where we need to come up with a new form of capitalism, scrapping free enterprise, if you will, and trying something else. Because the system may have outlived its usefulness. Certainly, we're all interested in learning about what makes prosperity, but the final word on this subject has not been written. Much valuable information about it has been added recently to the storehouse of human knowledge, and this will be revealed as we proceed with our analysis. Well, let's proceed with that analysis and step away from that dumbed-down text with the short sentences and the simple diction and pick up the mind of somebody that's just a little bit more intelligent than that and is writing for a more intelligent audience. And this, Ernest L. Bogart, the professor emeritus of Economics, University of Illinois. And when you Google, Scroogle, Dogpile, or Web Ferret, Ernest L. Bogart, University of Illinois, you'll come up with a rather interesting man who writes well. And in the Friday broadcast, we began a segment out of this Encyclopedia Americana, Americana Encyclopedia, titled Public Finance, in which we found that there were four basic scopes, if you will, that this article is going to address, and this article will then lead us throughout the encyclopedia to many other subheads that support and expand our understanding of the topic public finance. Let's find out a little bit about that. The definition and the scope of public finance. Again, reiterating from Friday, governmental organization is necessary in any society which has passed beyond the lowest stage of social development, and in modern industrial states, the functions and needs of the government are large and important. This is a premise upon which his writing is going to be based. That governmental organization is necessary in any society. He then continues and says, public finance treats of the raising and the application of the resources of the state. Raising and application of the resources, the money, if you will. The natural resources, the human resources, and all of that. Public finance treats on this. It analyzes the needs of the state. Very strongly statist terminology being used here, and the means by which these needs may best be met. That is, it treats of public expenditure and public revenue. So it's like a scale, it's a balancing pan, it's a budget, it's a sheet. It's a financial statement. On one side you have expenditures, on the other side you have revenues. You've got to cover your expenditures with revenues if you hope to balance the budget. Continuing, he writes, it also describes the methods by which these are determined upon and raised, which leads to a discussion of financial legislation and budgetary practice. And finally, the subject of public credit, by which the orderly income of the state may be anticipated, is included by most writers as falling within the scope of public finances, and this gives a fourfold division of the subject. So if you're taking notes, we'll have four heads here to look at initially. Public expenditures, public revenues, the legislation and budgetary practices, and public credit. All of which are in the news every single day these days. Let's look at public expenditures. He writes, "It is practically impossible to lay down any principles governing public expenditures, since before we can do this, a prior question has to be answered, namely, what are the proper functions of the state?" You see how very important that is. This brings in all kinds and manners of ideologies, philosophical radicalism, if you will. What is the proper function of the state? Is it to secure the blessings of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as it was stated in the Declaration of Independence? Or is it to be some cradle-to-grave mommy state? Or is it some authoritarian, dictatorship, if you will, and so on and so forth? It's difficult to determine the public expenditures until you define the state. So anyway, he continues and he says, "The answers to this stretch all the way from the extreme individualism of Herbert Spencer, which would limit the duties of the state to the protection of life and property and the enforcement of contracts, to the collectivism of modern socialists being at the time the 1930s, early 40s. Certainly a lot of modern socialists happening then. Who would enlarge the activities of the state to such an extent that they would absorb all private enterprise." And we can see that now with government motors and Obamacare coming on us and at us. We'll pick it up right there on the other side as we begin hour number two and continue our discussion of public finance. Your calls are welcome today. Stay with us.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, Columbus Day, October the 12th, 2009. The two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, oraclebroadcasting.com. Yes, my name is William Roberts, going through a lengthy discussion, if we can, today on public finance, trying to get a better understanding of all of this financial stuff we hear about. Rather than just picking it up, little snips and snippets and snapshots at a time, go into it with some greater understanding. You know, if we're going to be at all successful in taking back the reins of power, it would be wise if we at least understand some of what we're doing. You know, it's always easy to throw stones, but it's sometimes difficult to walk a mile in the other guy's moccasins. Timmy Geithner is in the hot seat right now. He deserves to be in the hot seat. He may even be deserving of a little bit of time in a hoosegow someplace or worse. And there's many that would be with him in all of that. But at the same time, to just yank it out by the roots, so to speak, you're going to have some kind of a solution set in hand, something in mind. Why do people go to college? To gain, hopefully, a greater understanding of things, but is going to college necessary? Who told you that you had to have a college degree in order to live on the planet Earth? Obviously, your educators did, backed up by the public media. And why? Well, that's all to support the university education system and to make sure that you don't slip through the cracks. But of course, when you study at a university, if you're studying under, if your professor happens to be a baboon and everyone in your class is a chimpanzee and you're at Podunk University, when you come out with your little sheepskin, the best that could be hoped for from your education would be that you would perhaps, if you graduated cum laude, you might be the smartest chimpanzee from a class that was taught by a baboon at Podunk U. And it will have cost you a tremendous amount of money and time. If you want to circumvent that program, you can do as we do right here on the broadcast and gather around yourself some quality dictionaries and some old textbooks and some encyclopedias and start in with that and then go on into the internet and expand your knowledge of these various subjects yourself. And it certainly doesn't take a full quarter to study economics. What we don't have is a great teacher. I'm certainly not a great teacher. I'm learning right along with you all. But we can learn to become more self-reliant and break the dependency cycle and thus free ourselves from the bondage of propaganda. But let's continue from this text. It says, upon one point, there is no difference of opinion. The tendency of public expenditures has shown a steady and universal, or Catholic, tendency to increase. And isn't that the truth? We keep hearing about the budget getting higher and greater and greater and greater amount. The appropriations and spending bills get more and more and more and more. And the size of government continues to mushroom and mushroom and mushroom. This has been true under centralized administration, as in France, or under decentralized governments, as in the German states, in large countries like Brazil, or in small ones like Belgium, in democratic countries like Switzerland, or despotic ones like Russia, in old countries like Greece, or in new ones like the United States. And there's a reason for that. You go back and study the Arcus and the rise of the money changers, as we move into the time of year when we remember the Knights Templar, the Order of John, the Hospitallers, and the... Anyway, Columbus Day. Be back on the other side.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 60 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
Have you heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle? Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we returned right here on Mondays, October the 12th, 2009, at Columbus Day, to our broadcast of Become Vocal Local. Perhaps we've got more people listening live today as we have so many people that are not at work because they're taking the day off. Maybe we can learn a little bit about finance as we enjoy this day off. Anyway, going back to our discussion here, again, the call-in numbers, if you're in the Austin, Texas area, or if you have unlimited long-distance access, you can call in at 512-904-8014 to join us live on air and from around the world and around America. You can call in toll-free at 866-841-1065. Of course, your calls are always welcome. So let's go into this and continue our study. This out of the Encyclopedia Americana, an article written by Ernest L. Bogart, professor emeritus at the University of Illinois, back in the 1930s and 40s, writing this article. We can see that we're in a post-Worldwide War I time period. We're in the post the creation of the Federal Reserve and the creation of a national income tax period. And so he's writing from a certain amount of experience, having lived through all of that, born well before that, in born the last decades of the 19th century, 1800s, thereabouts. But he continues, and he writes this, again, part of the seeming increase, to be sure, may be accounted for by the growth of the population, the growth of money payments in lieu of payments in service or in kind, the general advance in wealth, and the decline in the value of money. And as we were going into the break, I just started to recall to your memory from your memory, bring to your mind the idea that we talked about when we went into anarchy, anarchism and all of that, the archists, the plutarchs, autarchs, the monarchs, all these divine writers, etc., the church, the metropolitans, the archbishops, etc., all of that, Pontifex Maximus and the hat, and all of that. These people's families continue today, which is why we see, no matter where we look, whether it's Germany or Brazil or Belgium or Switzerland or Greece or the United States, all of these same things happening over and over again, because the money changers developed a system and we are in their system. We are not their system, but we are of their system. We are in their system. Dropping back into the article again, but after making all of these allowances, in other words, for population growth, money payments in lieu of payments and services in kind, the general advance in wealth or the decline in the value of the dollar, there still remains a real increase to be accounted for, especially since the beginning of the 19th century. Things have happened, and you go back and look at Cristobal Colom, and the caravel, which is even more important, that little sailing vessel that was able to make headway against the wind, which gave them the opportunity to do latitudinal shifts across the ocean rather quickly, things they couldn't do before. They didn't have to follow along the shoreline so much. They could just set out across the ocean and get with it. Big difference. And then the enormous finds, invaluable resources and demand, you know, natural and resources and gold and silver and slaves, enslaved populations and citizens and all of that, that plunged as Spain rose up, bringing all this gold and silver home and spices and herbs and everything else. As they brought all of this in, they dumped it on the market, dumping, and it caused a tremendous financial upheaval in Western Europe and elsewhere. The Mediterranean was no longer supreme. Now the transatlantic trade was coming on the scene. The archists finding new sources to plunder brings up the line of demarcation. We talked about that. Remember Columbus at the time of the Borgia Popes, following Calixtus III to Alexander VI, and study the popes. We talked about that. Recall it back to last Monday's broadcast where we were talking about the Reformation, the Enlightenment, the Renaissance, all of that, all time period being remembered today as we remember Cristobal Colom and his brother Bartholomew and the discovery of the West Indies or Bahamas. Anyhow. Let's continue. The duration of the growth of public expenditures will become clearer if we distinguish three classes, namely those for protection or defense, those involved in carrying on public works, and those for social welfare. So we've got protection or defense, public works, social welfare. The first includes not only military expenditures, but also those for police, the courts, and the preservation of domestic tranquility. And we have, in the last two decades, seen an absolute mushrooming of the amount of money and energy and legislation directed to these ends. Defense, police, courts, all of that. Again, some years ago, Herbert Spencer laid down the dictum that if society advanced, it would expend less for militarism and more for amelioration or public works. But the former part of his statement, at least, seems not have been borne out by the facts. Why? Well, because governments are organized for war, and they're not going to give it up. It's the crusader mentality. It's the dominionist mentality. It's the life of the archist. Responsible for this, of course, is the growing cost of modern armament. War, again, is incredibly expensive. The total money cost for the World War, that would be the First World War, didn't know about the Second World War, I guess he hadn't read Albert Pike, being estimated at about $186 billion. peace today costs the great modern powers more than the most expensive war of antiquity. And the greater the progress and in invention, the greater is the expense involved in replacing obsolete equipment with new. And this runs across the whole spectrum. A moldboard plow and an ox is pretty cheap. An international tractor is not. As things change, expenses go up. Things get more expensive. More monies are necessary. Even in a country as free from war as the United States has been in the last 50 years, how would you like to be able to make that statement? As free from war at the time of this writing as the United States had been in the last 50 years, not counting the First World War, of course. Over two-thirds of the federal expenditures today, again, writing back there in the 1940s, are directly or indirectly attributable to war and the preparation for war. Peace, peace, and there is no peace. Wars and rumors of wars driving the marketplace. Police and courts and similar expenses probably show a tendency to decrease, and it is possible that the future may also see a decline in the expenditures for war, but no such tendency can now be predicted. Not then, not today, not in the future, as long as all things continue as they are. Right back.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune, and many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending sea panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria and mold and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
Of the 3 million plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
And we've returned once again, and it just never ceases to amaze me, the simplistic solutions that some out there advocate, let's say. You know, let's just say they end the Fed movement, you know, end the Fed, they chanted at the big hall up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, Ron Paul, end the Fed. No, yeah, end the Fed. Without taking into any consideration whatsoever, most of the people there that were chanting such have no clue about what we're talking about this morning. No clue whatsoever. No real solution being offered. This for that exchange, but there's no that offered. So maybe if we can understand, wrap our mind around how big this issue is, we can understand how much work we have to do to repair the system. Whether we restore a constitutionally limited Republican form of representative government or not, it would be useful to know something about what it is that we're saying so that we don't sound like idiots when we become vocal local in our council rooms and chambers all across America. There is, again, a tendency for the second group of functions to increase. The number and the variety of services undertaken by the state is daily increasing. Daily increasing. This was back in the 1930s, early 40s. And there is constant pressure from the citizens of all modern states that the government shall expand its functions still further. You know, raise up beyond our own ignorant, arrogant American points of view and reference. Try dialing Buenos Aires into your system sometime. Find out a little bit about Brazil, the line of demarcation, the division of the earth between Portugal and Spain by the Pope along certain longitudinal lines. The idea of being able to conquer a nation by just doing nothing more than setting your standard on their soil and claiming it for the crown. Again, the number and the variety of services undertaken by the state is daily increasing. That's why it costs so much in taxes and other things. So much land, labor, and capital devoted towards this, public expenditures, public finance. As to whether these enterprises shall cause a corresponding increase in net expenditures or whether they will pay for themselves is a matter of public policy and administration. Policy, policing, policies, and administration. If managed on business principles, the growth of this group will have no effect in increasing the burden upon the taxpayer. Who is the taxpayer? Policies, administration, burdens, the taxpayer. Expenditures for social amelioration, that's an interesting word, social amelioration, and for the development of the well-being of the mass of citizens, that pursuit of happiness principle, falls into the third group. These include such items as education, recreation, the care of the dependent and defective classes, and the control and the regulation of private industry for the purpose of eliminating unfair and undesirable practices. That these have grown rapidly in the past needs hardly to be stated. And there is every reason to believe that they will increase even more rapidly in the future. As the alphabet soup agencies under Franklin Delano Roosevelt's New Deal mushroomed. From one standpoint, they may be regarded as an investment, which the modern state, again this statist reference point here, the modern state makes in its citizens, taxpayers, citizens, from which it reaps large returns. It, the state, reaps large returns from its citizens by making certain expenditures or investments. It reaps large returns in the form of greater efficiency, knowledge, contentment, decrease of suffering, and improvement in the general standards of living. Greater efficiency, knowledge, contentment, decrease of suffering, and the improvement in general standards of living, trying to raise the level of the Bolivian peasant up to the Wally and June Cleaver of 1952. The economic effects of public expenditures are far-reaching. If wisely directed, they may greatly benefit a people, while an unwise outlay may work positive harm. What's happening out of Washington today? What's happening in your state capital today? Are we having wise direction of these outlays, public expenditures, or unwise outlays, which might work positive harm? But, he continues, there is a probability no more widespread economic fallacy, than that public expenditure, no matter to what purpose directed, is a desirable thing in itself, since it puts money in circulation. Does that sound like Benjamin Bernanke's process right now? No more widespread or economic fallacy than that public expenditure, the TARP funds, no matter what purpose directed. Remember, I read the article the other morning on Friday about the millions coming to this small county for road work. They didn't ask for it, but they got it, and they figured out they'd probably be able to spend it somehow. This Keynesian economic model, this false Keynesian economic model where we think we can spend our way to prosperity. Desirable, since it puts money into circulation. Money, monies. Adam Smith, however, our author wisely writes, as early as 1775, contended that whether it was beneficial or not depended on the purpose for which it was spent. And this is the correct view, though sadly overlooked in our pork barrel and similar wasteful government expenditures in the United States, being written by our author in this article. Sadly overlooked. Adam Smith's wisdom, sadly overlooked in our pork barrel and similar wasteful government expenditures in the United States. Rather bold of this author to include in his encyclopedia article. As to what is regarded as beneficial will again depend upon the particular point of view. What is beneficial about spending billions on H1N1 vaccines? What is beneficial about the Obamacare program? Obama! As to what is regarded as beneficial will again depend on the particular point of view. War is considered so by some writers. Got to go after Iran, you know. They have nuclear materials. In general, the author continues, it may be said in conclusion that no general rule can be laid down to govern public expenditures. Much will depend upon the stage of political and social development of a people, but that state may be considered to make the wisest expenditures, which returns to its citizens relatively the greatest amount of benefit. Therefore, irrespective of whether these expenditures be large or small, the greatest good of the greatest number, the happiness principle, hearkening all the way back to Francis Hutcheson, and then James Mill, Jeremy Bentham, John Stuart Mill, the utilitarians, etc. So that closes out the section on public expenditure and brings us into public revenues. Again, there's these four headings. Public expenditures, they must be balanced by public revenue. And then there's the legislative and the budgetary practice and public credit. We'll be expecting that all up right on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Amazon.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. No one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds of thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
The world appears to be on the brink of collapse. Experts say a pinch of heirloom vegetable seed could soon be the most valuable resource on Earth because it will provide healthy food now and every year after. SurvivalistSeeds.com now has the heirloom garden seed time capsule, allowing you to store your seeds for the future anywhere, even underground, for 100 years. The heirloom garden seed time capsule can withstand 3 tons of weight, is 100% rodent-proof, waterproof, and comes with a whopping 6,000 healthy vegetable seeds from 20 varieties that will grow anywhere in the USA. Unless you trust the government, the heirloom garden seed time capsule and heirloom seeds from SurvivalistSeeds.com is your long-term food solution. Our competition charges 10 cents to $1.25 per seed for these same heirloom varieties. But you can now have a head of lettuce, a bundle of carrots, a basket of tomatoes, a giant watermelon, and 60 other varieties for about a penny a seed each. Be prepared. Buy your heirloom seeds today from SurvivalistSeeds.com and have food insurance for your family forever. Visit SurvivalistSeeds.com. SurvivalistSeeds.com is owned by Big John Lipscomb, host of the Don't Tread on Me radio show.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
So in the one pan of our scale, we've placed public expenditures. In the other pan of our scale, we need then to balance it with public revenues. And the revenues of the state have been variously classified, our author writes here, by different writers, but it is possible to subsume or place them all, subsume all important sources under two heads, and here they are. One, contractual or commercial revenues, and two, taxes or compulsory revenues. Contractual or commercial revenues and taxes or compulsory revenues. Two heads there. According to this classification, fees, special assessments, and fines should be included in the second group, while such minor or unusual sources of revenue as gifts, indemnities, etc., would be included in the first. For all practical purposes, such a broad classification serves as well as the more detailed ones of some writers. He continues, breaking it down a little bit more. Contractual revenues are derived in general from two main sources, public domains and public industries. Of these, the former has been more the important in the United States. There are, in general, three policies which governments have adopted respecting the public domain, public lands. Public domain. One is for the government to cultivate its own domain, agriculture, cultivate it. This was the general practice in the medieval period when the revenues of the ruler were not sharply distinguished from those of the public treasury and is still followed in many European countries which are influenced by feudal custom. Owing to the intensive nature of agriculture, which calls for close personal attention, this method has not yielded large revenues. It's too specific. It's not general enough. Too many hands. Too much supervision. In the case of forests, however, this policy may hardly be approved. The National Forest Lands, U.S. Forest Service, revenue generation, etc. The mining interests, mining claims, and so on U.S. land. A second possibility is for the government to retain the title, but lease its domain for cultivation. Key phrase. A second possibility is for the government to retain the title, but lease its domain for cultivation. Has the state, your state, retained the title of your automobile and your truck? Are you taxed for your home? Who has retained the title of your house? Are you taxed for your business, for your cows, your pigs, your sheep, your goats, your llamas? Your farm implements, your tractors, etc. Very important. A second possibility being the government retaining the title, but leasing its domain for cultivation, tax farming, if you will. Continuing from the author, he says, such a policy would involve serious political dangers in the United States. Yes, it has. But it was a risk taken. And we've paid the price. Owing to the pressure to make unduly favorable leases for partisan or personal reasons and may be dismissed as unworkable. Well, sir, this is where I disagree with this author. In some of the European countries, however, and notably in India, such a policy seems to work well and is highly endorsed by writers on public finance. Remember how many years John Stuart Mill spent in India. A third method, and this is the one which has been followed in the United States, is for the government to dispose of its public domain by sale or gift. Remember the Homestead Act. Remember the mining laws of 1865. Homesteading and mining laws. This is how it was disposed of originally to encourage settlement. Remember Credit Mobilier of America and the great gifts that were made to the railroad companies to extend railroads across all of America. If it is settled by an industrious and intelligent agricultural population, and the government will probably be able to secure larger revenues from taxation of the increased wealth and land values than from the receipts from direct farming by the state or from rentals from the tenants. Solely from the standpoint of public finance, therefore, the policy of the United States government may be approved. Unfortunately, the Federal Reserve is involved. You've never paid for anything because you're using their fiat legal tenders. Promises to pay don't discharge debt. And so it's a, what do they say, constructive fraud against the people? Suppressio veri, the suppression of the truth, constitutes fraud and has for centuries. Anyway, there's a lot involved in that. Public industries vary greatly from country to country as they have varied in number and extent from time to time. At one extreme end stands Prussia, owning and operating its railroads, telegraphs, and telephones, in large part managing its mines and forests, to say nothing of its porcelain factories and other government plants. At the other end stands probably the United States, which, until the war, confined itself practically to the administration of the post office. How would you like to look your children in the face and say that the only thing in America that America runs is the post office? Talk about the good old days. Municipalities differ among themselves no less in regard to their public industries, though here the movement for government enterprise is much stronger than in the cases of the central governments, or the state, the counties, the state, and the federal government. This is the rise of the Metro, 1313 out of Chicago. This is the rise of municipals, municipal governments, municipalities. The industries selected for government management have usually been socially desirable but unremunerative, as education, of general interest to all the people, as the post office or waterworks, monopolistic in their nature as telegraphs or street railways, and fairly simple in administration. One time I wrote that sole purpose of government as I could see it in those days was to provide goods and services that the people are either unable or unwilling to provide for themselves, and this points to that. Telegraphs, post offices, waterworks, or canals, or things that are monopolistic in their nature and simple in administration. The revenues from public industries will, of course, differ greatly from country to country, our author writes, according to the policy of administration. And then again, still continuing under public revenues, we bring in the topic of taxation. Taxation, the author writes, remains the principal source of revenues for all modern governments, and one that is growing rather than lessening in importance. We're going deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, placing more and more and more responsibility, if you will, on the government to do things that we're unable or unwilling to do for ourselves. And it's costing us our country. A tax may be defined in John Fiske's alliterative description as a portion of private property taken for public purposes, robbing Peter to pay Paul, I added. It must always be for a public purpose, and it involves the power of legal coercion on the part of the sovereign doing good at the barrel of a gun, right? Because of this characteristic, it is highly essential that a tax system be just and equitable. Probably no passage in the literature of finance is more celebrated than that in which Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations, if you don't have a copy in your library, I'd recommend you get one and read it. Used to be required reading in the Ivy Leagues. In which he stated his well-known canons of taxation, which may be summarized as follows. 1. The subjects of every state. Notice subjects. Are you subject to your state? You're a subject, a citizen of your state. The subjects of every state ought to contribute toward the support of the government as nearly as possible in proportion to their respective abilities, that is, in proportion to the revenue which they respectively enjoy under the protection of the state. Does that sound at all familiar? From each according to their abilities and to each according to their needs. Seems like Karl Mordecai Marx was out of Smith.
You heard about the most advanced affordable upgrade for your vehicle. Sonic spark plugs bring you increased fuel mileage and performance. It's like a new brain for your engine from enginebrain.com. Just like a pound of sawdust burns faster than a pound of wood chips, finer fuel mist burns faster. Using a patented process, Sonic spark plugs smash gasoline mist with ultrasound. Thousands of drivers have upgraded to Sonic spark plugs for more power and mileage. Just replace your old plugs with Sonic plugs. Now get a free Sonic spark plug for your chainsaw, generator, snowblower, or lawnmower, and pay only shipping and handling. Once you experience ultrasonic power, you'll want them in your car, truck, motorcycle, or RV. Visit enginebrain.com to learn why Sonic spark plugs outperform all other spark plugs. They're a small company, but their advanced plugs are 100% OEM compatible with your vehicle's warranty. Visit enginebrain.com to learn about combustion theory, hydrogen power, and fuel efficiency. Learn what the oil companies would rather you not know, like a new brain for your engine. EngineBrain.com. EngineBrain.com.
Look, it's time someone gave you the facts about your computer. If you're a Windows user, you know all too well what the problems are. Viruses, crashes, sluggish behavior. Finally, you have to fix it or take it to the shop. We see it every day. Now, Microsoft is preparing for the release of their new Windows 7. They want you to pay hundreds of dollars to upgrade. Well, you don't have to pay for the privilege of using your computer anymore. We've been installing Linux at home and for businesses in Austin for 4 years. Our customers love it. Why Linux? It never costs you a dime. All the software you need is free, and you never have to worry about Windows viruses again. Linux is all but immune. Many of your Windows programs will run on Linux as well. Have an older computer? Linux runs great on it, when Windows won't. So instead of paying for a system that's going to cause you problems, stop fighting your computer and start using it. Check out the facts at www.fixedbylinux.com. That's L-I-N-U-X, fixedbylinux.com. Or call us at 512-739-9707. There's a better way. Linux.
You're thirsty. You put the glass under the faucet, turn it on, nothing. No water in your tap, no water in the stores, no water for your children.
Millions of Americans go without water during hurricanes, droughts, and chemical spills. They're forced to wait for government deliveries of bottled water.
But now, you can produce pure drinking water from any source. Ocean water, contaminated well water.
The dirtiest, nastiest, smelliest water.
The secret is U.S. patent-pending C-panels. Technology transfer from the University of Alabama. They use sunlight to distill clean water, one pure H2O molecule at a time. Impervious to bacteria, mold, and 100% solar powered.
Simple and affordable, they start at less than $100 and make up to a gallon per day of delicious water per panel.
The more sun you have, the more water you get. 205-246-6492.
Or visit cpanel.com, spelled S-E-A-panel.com.
cpanel.com.
And we've returned once again into our discussion of public finance. We're into a section now under taxation, starting to wrap our mind around some of the early thinking on this particular topic. It's a shame that we just can't go on and on endlessly, but we are going to be interrupted in our studies here in about 15 minutes at the end of the broadcast. We won't be able to touch this again until Friday, but I shall then return to this discussion. So perhaps between then and now, you might do a little bit of research yourself on this topic so that you get a better understanding of it, and then maybe you'd have some ready questions in hand. But going back here, we've already given out this first of the four primary canons of taxation posited by Adam Smith in his Wealth of Nations. Here's number two. He says, the tax which each individual ought to pay ought to be certain and not arbitrary. No arbitrary or capricious taxation. A certainty. We certainly don't have that today with the IRS tax code. Number three, every tax ought to be levied at the time or in the manner in which it is most likely to be convenient for the contributor to pay it. Now, some people talk about the flat tax or the fair tax, a point of purchase tax being more fair. Why? Because it's convenient at the time that the contributor can pay it. You have enough to buy that lumber. Maybe you have enough right now to go ahead and pay that tax. That's sales taxes. Four, every tax ought to be so contrived as to both take out and keep out of the pockets of the people as little as possible over and above what it brings into the public treasury of the state. Not just taking trillions and throwing them out in TARP funds all over the place, but to take out and to keep out as little as possible over and above what it brings into the public treasury of the state. Now, those are his four points. He continues, the author here says, in addition to these requirements of justice, certainty, convenience, and economy, a satisfactory tax system should also be productive of adequate revenues and elastic or responsive to the needs of the government. Somewhere in all of this, there must be a balancing of the budget. Are we continuously running deficits ad infinitum, greater and greater deficits, more and more, loaned into existence at interest to enrich the central bankers? I think so. Some writers, our author continues, as for instance the physiocrats of the 18th century, the 1700s, and the single taxers of today, that would be in the 1930s and 40s, the single taxers, argue that a simple system of taxation is preferable to a multiple system. How many different layers of taxation do we have in America today? On any item that you acquire, how many taxes are embedded within that item, in its price? Continuing, and both of these schools have urged the substitution of a single tax on land or on land values for all existing taxes. It throws it all on the property owners. Why would they, in the 1700s, want to throw the burden of taxation on the property owners? Well, one, in order to vote in 17th century America, 18th century America in the 1700s, the founders wrote in that you had to be a property holder. And a property holder is not likely to vote for taxes on his land that burden his land. And so there would be a check and a balance. But of course, if you've got every glad hander and apartment dweller in America at the polls, you know they're going to vote out of the treasury largesse for themselves. We've gone against some of the wisdom of our founders here. It may be urged, however, the author continues, that it is possible to realize the various ideals just enumerated, especially of adequacy and elasticity, only by a multiple or plural system of taxation. Moreover, only by the employment of various kinds of taxes is it possible for a government to achieve other ends by means of the taxing machinery as protection, regulation, of the liquor traffic, and more. All modern governments use a plural system of taxation, in some cases leaving but a few sources of revenue untapped. And again, we talk about all modern governments as if this was some unique creation from continent to continent, from geographical area to geographical area. When we can go back to 1776 and find Mayor Amschel Bauer Rothschild and his five sons and five daughters raising up and fanning out and creating a banking system where they work directly with governments to finance this kind of debt, public finance, part of why we're discussing this today. You're not always going to be like Columbus and rush off to a new continent and pillage the Incas and the Mayans and all of the rest for their gold and loot them out and kill them and bring them into bondage servitude or set up the reductions like the Jesuits did in Paraguay. The canon of taxation, upon which emphasis has always been laid by writers on public finance, is that of justice. Just ICE. ICE, we talked about ICE today, the USDX. Just ICE, justice. The first question that suggests itself in this connection concerns the relative duty of citizens to pay taxes for the support of the state. Is it your duty to pay taxes? How shall the tax burden be apportioned among the taxpayers? Two main answers have been given to this problem. One, the benefit and the ability theories of taxation, in other words, from each according to their need and to each according, or from each according to their ability to each according to their need, benefit and ability. And according to the benefit theory, taxes should be apportioned among the citizens according to the value of the services of the government to them, a sort of pay-as-you-go plan. It is evident that an attempt to carry out such a theory practically would result in imposing excessive taxes upon those least able to bear them. The defectives in our state institutions would bear the heaviest burdens. Those that really needed it would have to pay the highest taxes, eh? It may be observed, however, that every taxpayer should receive very real benefits from the government which he helps to support. And indeed, and unless taxes yielded such benefits, there would be no justification for it whatsoever. What benefits have you received today, dear listeners, from the government? Are you on the dole? Are you in the pipeline, robbing from Peter to pay Paul? You like to say socialism is much like pregnancy. It's difficult to be a little bit of a socialist. Once you start receiving, you always want more, and you're willing to vote for more, too, typically. To a consideration of this disputed topic, we must therefore turn. Well, we should probably stop right there. I'll make a note. And so much has happened since Cristobal Colón set sail under the auspices of the Pope, if you will, Ferdinand and Isabella. Remember that tomorrow, again, is going to be the day that the Knights Templar were suppressed. Jews were kicked out of Spain about the same time period, again. Jesuits came under attack elsewhere. All kinds and manners of things were happening all around the world in those days. But 500 years ago was a big difference, a big change, a really big shoe. In 2005, the John Birch Society published a pamphlet titled Erasing Our Borders as part of their media campaign to stop the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or the FTAA. And the following quote appears in that pamphlet. Quote, "Everything is in place after 500 years to build a true new world in the Western Hemisphere." Close quote. That's a quote that of David Rockefeller's words, former chairman of the CFR and the COA. I'm not sure what that is. Council of Americas, probably. Referring to NAFTA, the precursor to the FTAA. You might still be able to find that brochure amongst all the stuff that's published by the John Birch Society. But truly, everything is in place after 500 years. This is Paul Colombo today to build a new world order. We'll be back again tomorrow with a special guest. Till then, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail. It is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
Fisheries will always remember those in the strongest voice. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Long live the revolution.